Once again, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. We're not going to do what I told you last night we were going to do, and that is rerun the series on the ADL. Instead, I'm going to do that live beginning Monday. Beginning Monday, I'm going to do it all over again live. These people have upset me to no end, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm just not going to stand for it. They're not going to get away with it. Their underwear is so dirty, and they've been wearing it, the same pair of underpants, for over 100 years. So we're going to take care of these creeps once and for all. Tonight, we're going to have our interview that we did have scheduled for Monday. We're going to have Linda Thompson on the line here in just a few minutes. But first, I sort of want to rehash things. I can remember, folks, when everybody was buying the bullshit from Waco. I mean, buying it hook, line, and sinker, the American public, including almost everybody that's listening to this broadcast, were saying, oh, they're a bunch of wackos. It's a cult. They got machine guns. They had a conspiracy against the government. And it was all lies. You all, every one of you, should be ashamed of yourselves. And it was a very gutsy, very courageous woman and myself who brought the attention of the nation to the lies that were emanating from the mouths of the ATF, the FBI, the ADL, and the White House concerning Waco, Texas. The woman, of course, as most of you already know, is Linda Thompson. Everybody makes mistakes in their life, and Linda's sure made enough, and I've made enough. And you judges and condemners out there have made enough yourself to know better. Linda focused the attention of the world on the atrocities and the massacre at Waco, Texas. And now many of you have abandoned her in her time of need because of phony, lying allegations made by some people who are not on our side, such as Mr. Dillon of the Blue Press. You know, Dillon Reloading Materials. Have you heard of those people, folks? Dillon Reloading Machines. They published in their Blue Press an article about Linda Thompson that's full of lies. Accused her of having run for governor in the state of Illinois on the Socialist Workers Party ticket, and that's a lie. Just the other day, I was driving and saw a sign. I forget where it was. It was not in the state, and it wasn't just the other day. It was the last time we took a trip somewhere, and I forget where it was. I think we went to Los Angeles, but we saw a sign that said Linda Thompson for something or other, running for office in another state. And it wasn't Linda Thompson. But if somebody had seen it, they would have made hay with that too. So we're going to be talking to her about these spurious, lying, slandering articles. And by the way, she sued Dillon Reloading Machines. And she is going to win. To quite bluntly, put it quite bluntly, she will win because what they printed were blatant, outright lies. She was also named in this press report put out by the Anti-Defamation League. Let me see if I can find the exact quote here and read it to you. A rising star in the movement is Linda Thompson, an Indiana lawyer. She issued a call, later rescinded, for a march by militias on Washington to arrest and try for treason congressmen who supposedly failed to uphold their office. Nothing supposedly about it. None of them have upheld their office. Thompson was arrested this summer for blocking a busload of supporters of President Clinton's health care plan. At the time, police found her. She was carrying two pistols and had an assault weapon in her vehicle with 295 rounds of ammunition. They make it sound like she's a terrorist. And we're going to talk about that, too. And find out what she's been doing and a lot of other things. And I know some of you have stuck with her. But most of you are fickle, like children. If you don't get the piece of candy you want, you go somewhere else, don't you? See, I've never labored under any misapprehensions, and that's why I just flat don't give a damn what you think about me, any of you. I tell it like it is. And if you can swallow it and learn from it, that's fine. Maybe we can have a better world. If you can't, go to Cuba. I really don't care. Nothing thin-skinned about William Cooper or the Hour of the Time or the intelligence service. We know we're in a war. You don't seem to understand that yet, most of you. And I mean it. Sincerely, most of you don't seem to understand what's going on. But you will. You will, just like the blacks and the Jews and the Christians and the gypsies in Germany found out, only you'll find out too late, just like they did. Don't go away. I'll be right back with our special guest, Linda Thompson, of the American Justice Federation.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
Linda, welcome back to the Hour of the Time.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Bill. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your program.
Why don't you catch us up? Where have you gone and what have you been doing? I know, but a lot of people out there don't, and we get phone calls all the time. What happened to Linda Thompson? Is she going back on the air? What is she doing? Is she dead?
Well, I'm not dead. The reports of my death are premature and usually spread by rumor mongers that want people to hear that often enough that they won't believe it when it actually happens, I guess. In fact, I get a lot of calls about you being dead. The same thing, and I think it's the same kind of thing. They want people to always be chasing their tails so that they won't believe it when you are attacked and I am attacked, as we will be and have been. Well, for the most part, in the last two or three months, we finished our tape, America Under Siege, and that tape is so good that we can't get it on any place. Any place. Chuck Carter's program ordered 5,000 of them and refused to sell them and refused to pay for them once they saw them.
Wait a minute, did you deliver the copies?
Nope, we didn't, because we got an order from their producer, and we ordered them based on them telling us to order them, and even had two commercials done for them that they asked for to put on their TV program at considerable expense to us. And then they called back a few days later after the order was all done at the production company, but hadn't shipped yet, said, nope, we don't want to do it.
Well, did they give you any reason, Linda?
Just don't want to do it.
Well, I watched that videotape, folks, and I can tell you right now, it brought tears to my eyes.
Gary Tomlinson, who at the time was the producer, said, why would you make something that right-wing? Now, it's not right-wing at all. It's just truth. We took all of these things that everyone has claimed don't exist, that I make up, you know, all the detractors that have been out there saying there's no black helicopters, There's no cameras on the light poles. There's no stickers on the backs of the signs. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's peace and hunky-dory in America. Well, they're wrong, and we proved it. We not only show the black helicopters, we show their headquarters and who's behind them, what they're doing, why they're being trained the way they are, and who else they're training, which includes all the law enforcement in the country. And what we're seeing here is the Nazification of America. We are seeing them do exactly the same things in the United States that were done in Nazi Germany. We have now got a national federalized police force. And we have definitely now got the move to disarm America just like they did in Germany. Only the targets are different. And we're all targets in this one. So I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up. But apparently there's just too much in this one. It's just too true. It shows too much. It will be too terrifying for all of America to see because no one will touch this tape. We've had... TV stations, cable network TV stations, or the access, the public access that's supposed to run anything, they won't run it. And I had a guy today who is real gutsy, who does a lot of good work. He's out in front all the time. He said, man, I'm scared to even mention this tape. He's going to run it in his newsletter. He said, I just know they're coming to my door when I do it. And he asked if he gets picked up, would we all send him cards, and I'll I'll tell you who he is if that happens. But anyway, I didn't think it was very radical. I just thought I'm putting together a compilation of the truth.
Well, it's not radical at all. It's just not what anybody expects to see. I sat and watched it, ladies and gentlemen, and tears came to my eyes, and I had this terrible sinking feeling in my gut because above just about anybody else in this country, I know what's going on, and I knew what I was watching was true. Only she put together in a concise, compact videotape that I could sit down and watch in a short period of time, and it brings it together in a way that you cannot escape from it, from the reality of what's happening. Recently, the newspaper put out by the John Birch Society, which was founded by a Freemason named Robert Welch, stating that there are no black helicopters and all of these other kinds of things. Well, there are. I have seen them. Linda has them in her video, and she even shows you the difference between a black helicopter and one that's painted the dark OD green.
And brown. We've got some of each one. And some of them have markings and some don't, but the black ones that are unmarked are the distinctive ones because they're the ones being used by the military special forces, and they're flying ATF, DEA, FBI, and all of the government agencies around in them. And if you look at the crime bill, they've simply legitimized what they've been doing all along with these task forces that they make up of military and government agents in the crime bill that just passed. Now they can do it out in the open because they've declared that they can. They said, we can, therefore it must be legal, so they are. They've been doing it anyway, up until now, trying to hide it from the public. Now they're not even making an effort to hide it. So why the John Birch Society would be so stubbornly blind to the facts is beyond me. But the crime bill talks about these multi-jurisdictional task forces in several places. They create new ones, and Janet Reno is in charge of them. She can pick who's on them. Any government agency can be in these task forces, and that includes the military. And now any municipality under the crime bill, any municipality, any little city, any tiny burg can declare an area a drug emergency and ask the feds to come in, and they can come in for a year with any federal agency, which includes military. And Janet Reno controls the purse strings to all the cities that are asking for grants under the crime bill. So if you don't think that the cities are going to kowtow to what Janet Reno wants to do, including sending in these little task forces all over the place to run our lives, think again, because money talks.
And let me bring this home to you, people. You're not safe anymore. November 2nd, 1994, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. No acts needed to show drug plot court rules. In other words, they want to put you away. You don't even have to do anything anymore. All they have to do is say that you were engaged in a plot to import and sell drugs. Washington.
But they've been doing that all along. The I thought a significant thing about that court decision. O'Connor said it's always been this way, but she said she also referenced a drug law that passed in the 80s and said, well, since that law passed, that's the way it is. So she even contradicted herself in her own decision. They're basically just, there is no constitution anymore. The Supreme Court doesn't even recognize a constitution. Melvin Fagan, my client that's in prison for 20 years, was set up on exactly what they're talking about there. I want to give you a real-life example of what that means to all of us. Melvin Fagan should be the rallying cry to oust everyone that has passed any of these drug laws. He was trying to expose the criminals in Chicago and Indianapolis, and it was the police, the Chicago police and the Indianapolis police, running cocaine back and forth between the two cities because a good friend of his was killed who didn't do drugs. He was murdered because he happened to see something he shouldn't. So Melvin infiltrated the gangs, found out who they were, got names, dates, times, and places, and he took them to a cop, a 20-year veteran cop that he thought he could trust, expecting him to be busted, and the cop was involved in it and set Melvin up. And the way that they set Melvin up was they got a paid informant, a guy who himself was involved, really involved, in cocaine trafficking with the police, to testify that he had gone to Melvin's house and talked about buying cocaine. That was enough for a conspiracy. That was enough for a search warrant for Melvin's house. And when they searched his house, he had a gun in his closet on a shelf in a box with the purchase receipt for the gun, and he had a gun carry permit. But it didn't matter. They charged him with using a gun in the commission of a drug crime because this informant claimed to have been at his house talking about buying cocaine.
And in fact, there was no crime ever committed.
And in fact, it was worse than that. His house was within 1,000 yards of a school. So now he's charged with using a gun in the commission of a drug crime within 1,000 yards of a school. Two of those are mandatory minimum 5-year sentences. The other one is 10 years. The first attorney that he had did what the attorneys are doing now in the federal courts. This is what happens in our federal courts. Only a few attorneys are allowed to practice in the federal courts, and here's how it works. They charge a fella $20,000 up front. Then they don't do anything for him at all, and the day before trial, they bring him out at night and tell him the government's got an overwhelming case against him. If he doesn't plead guilty, they're going to arrest his wife as an accessory, and his children are going to be put in a foster home. Or if he lives with his family, then his parents are going to be arrested, and their house will be taken if he doesn't plead guilty. Now, this is how they have created an entire prison industry around people falsely convicted of drug crimes in this country, set up, sealed, and delivered with the cooperation of the judges and the attorneys in the federal court system.
That's right. Let me read this article to you, folks. November 2nd, 1994, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. No acts needed to show drug plot court rules. Scripps Howard News Service, Washington. Government prosecutors don't have to prove that someone charged with drug conspiracy acted to carry out the scheme, a unanimous Supreme Court ruled Tuesday. The court said that a federal drug conspiracy law doesn't require the government to show the commission of any overt acts in furtherance of the conspiracy. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, writing for the court, said that the prohibition against criminal conspiracy does not punish mere thought. However, she said, it has been established law since the early 1700s that conspiracy does not make the doing of any act other than conspiring a condition of liability. The decision overturned a Ninth U.S. Court, Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that reversed the conviction of Rishat Sabani for conspiring to import cocaine from California to Anchorage, Alaska. Now, let's carry this a step further, folks. What if you're standing in the street corner with your buddy and a good-looking girl walks by? And you both, in a little bit of fantasy, say how much you'd like to crawl into bed with her. Well, according to this law, if two or more make this statement together, and she didn't give her permission, you're now guilty of conspiring to rape. Is that correct?
That'd be pretty close, but I don't think they'll use it for that.
Well, it doesn't matter what they use it for. It's how much danger are we in by this. In other words, they can use it any way they want to, is my point.
It's like the witch trials. And what if it's a couple of militia people together talking about anything to do with the militia? Is that enough?
We're talking about anything to do with anything. You don't even have to be militia. The point is that we are in grave danger from what these scumbag traitors are doing in Washington, D.C.
And all they have to do, you don't even have to have talked about it. You don't have to have talked about it with anybody, because they will have a paid informant who will say he talked to you about it.
Sure.
And that's all it's going to take, and that's what all it took with Melvin Fagan. And Melvin Fagan is in prison right now. And the judge kept six witnesses out. We had three police witnesses willing to testify who were threatened if they showed up and didn't show up. The judge fined me $2,000 for having the audacity to bring it to trial, for having the audacity to try to expose what was being done to Melvin Fagan. This is our federal court system.
Well, let's move on to something else here. Let's talk about this ADL press release here.
Oh, those people.
A rising star in the movement is Linda Thompson, an Indiana lawyer.
Which movement are they talking about?
Well, it's according to this, the angry bands of gun-toting right-wing militants. I guess that's the movement they're talking about. Have you seen any angry bands of gun-toting right-wing militants?
Not a one.
I haven't either. Has anybody out there seen any? I'd like for you to write me a letter and send me a picture of these gun-toting angry bands of right-wing militants. I'd like to see that.
I've seen some angry bands of gun-toting left-wing militants, and they usually dress all in black and look like ninjas and break in people's doors and steal all their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or break into churches and disrupt religious sessions and destroy pews and churches and
burn them down.
Yes, all kinds of things. Happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and with the complete impunity of the law, apparently.
But the ADL never says anything about that, do they?
No, no.
They never say anything about Jews that call everybody else goyim and make disparaging remarks about people who are not Jews, do they?
No, but there's an interesting provision of the crime bill that...
They also get on everybody about if there's one street that doesn't have a black person or a Jew living on that street, the ADL will come down hard on them. But yet the ADL says nothing about the self-inflicted Jewish ghettos in the major cities in this country. Why don't they say anything about that?
That's not their agenda.
That's exactly right.
Their agenda really has very little to do with protecting Jewish people from anything. It has to do with spying for law enforcement and creating fake controversies to keep their grant money coming. If there were as many people out there that hated Jews as they claim hate Jews, there wouldn't be any Jews.
That's correct. The truth is there's very little, if any, anti-Semitism in this country. And the Jews know that better than anyone because they've been able to prosper and live here in safety where they can't do that in most other places of the world. And it's been the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the patriots of this country that have made this country possible and safe that have given them that opportunity.
Well, they're trying to make the words patriot and militia into dirty words is what they're trying to do.
Well, I think they're going to find that there are also a lot of Jews who are patriots, and I ought to know because I have a lot of Jews in my organization who are patriots, who are members of the militia, and who are working just as hard as anybody else is to try to save this country.
And they're going to find that they've got some right-wing militants that are Jews and right-wing militants that are black and left-wing and middle and everybody else in between that believe in our Constitution and our way of life, and it doesn't have a doggone thing to do with race, religion, or politics. It has to do with are we or are we not going to live in a country where everyone is free, period. It's not going to happen if we go into the global society that the ADL wants us under.
That's right. They are promoting and actually helping to bring about the dissolution of the sovereignty of the United States of America and the creation of a one-world totalitarian socialist government under the United Nations.
Can we sue them for treason in a civil case, Bill? I don't know if it's ever been done. Can you sue treason as a civil case? I think we should try it.
You're the lawyer. I don't know the answer.
I don't think anybody's ever tried it. Let's try it.
Okay, I'm game.
I'm game because I'm sick of these guys. They've attacked me enough. And another one is at Morris D's with the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, they got a $57 million trust fund down there, and they haven't filed a single lawsuit in 3 years.
No, it's a scam. They're another arm of B'nai B'rith. But let me get to this right here. Let's get this out in the open so you can answer these questions and people won't have to wonder whether all this stuff is true or not. I know what the answer is, but they want to hear it from you.
Okay.
When you were arrested, were you carrying two pistols?
No, I had my regular 45 that I always wear, and I usually show it at meetings and seminars and so forth. I was wearing my 45, and the police knew that. Because I was searched, and they weren't worried about it. They put me in the paddy wagon wearing it, knowing that I had it. And in my purse, I have a purse that's got a zippered bottom in it, and I usually have a little Derringer in there. My Derringer was in my purse, but my purse was in my car, and the police took it, and that was how they claimed I didn't have a gun permit, but because they took my purse after they asked me where my gun permit was, and I told them it was in my purse. They took my purse so that they could claim I couldn't prove I had a gun permit.
But you did have a permit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a matter of public record.
Yeah, and I wasn't charged with a gun charge either.
Right. And so was there anything illegal about that?
No, not at all.
That's correct. But they make it sound like you're a pistol-packing, Annie Oakley terrorist, right-wing, militant wacko.
Well, they also made a point, there's a policeman on the force that made a point of releasing that exact sentence there. She had two pistols and an assault rifle and 295 rounds of ammunition on her to the media. You know, now where did they get the legal right to do that? That's a big invasion of my privacy. It's none of their business. And
it wasn't true anyway.
Well, it actually was true.
You weren't carrying two pistols.
Well, no, I wasn't carrying two pistols, but there was.
And they make it sound like they're intentionally wrote this to make it sound like you were doing something illegal, that you're some kind of a terrorist, when everything that you did was legal. Is that correct?
Oh, of course it was.
Then it's a lie. That's what you got to learn how they talk, and you got to learn how to fight back, Linda.
Well, I'm not ashamed of having my gun.
No, you shouldn't be.
But
you can't say that this statement is true because it's a lie. The way that it's intended to make people think, and the fact that they say that you were carrying two pistols and you were not, this is a lie.
And then they say when the police found me, well, the police didn't find me. I was never lost. I mean, I was at this. All this was about was that bus protest. You know, that everybody all over the country showed up for the Clinton health care bus protest, and they knew I was putting out the bus schedule on my radio program, and it was apparently very effective because every place this bus went, they were met with large numbers of protesters, 500 or 600 people.
Uh-huh.
So by the time they got to Indianapolis, they were ready for me, guy. They wanted to cause a confrontation in Indianapolis. It was very plain because they imported people to protest for Clinton's side from out of state. So when I got there and I saw that that's what they had set up, they had two SWAT teams there, these thugs from one of the unions.
Well, you must be a dangerous outlaw.
Yeah, you know, so I decided I would try my best to keep it, you know, calm, because it was a very hot day. It was in the 90s, very hot day, and tempers were short, and the buses were late. And my son and I went down and bought sodas for everybody and brought them back, drove down the street, passed them out, and we went back and got some more sodas because we didn't have enough, and we were going to drive down the street again to throw those sodas out to everybody. And a policeman told me, no, the street's closed. You can't go down the street. Park your car. And I was going to back up and park my car, and there's the bus right behind me. And I just kind of figured God has a pretty good sense of humor because, you know, I didn't plan this. I really did not plan to block the bus. But once the opportunity presented itself, I couldn't resist. So there I was. I turned my car off, and I got out, and I locked the doors, and I walked away. And we've got this whole thing on tape. Not one policeman told me to move the car then. Nobody. Nobody said anything. Nobody rushed up to me. Nothing happened. I'm grinning like a silly goose and trying to get some of our guys to come up and take a picture of it, and one guy did, and about that time a policeman did tell me to move the car, and I turned, and I'm going that way to move my car, when the same cop tackles me from behind. Now, then they did search me, and you can see it on tape. They knew I had my gun on. It was under my jacket in a holster.
But they didn't take it from you, did they?
No, they put me in the paddy wagon with it on, and then they knocked me out.
With your pistol, with other criminals in there, right?
No, there was just one other guy in there, and he wasn't a criminal. He's a nice guy.
Linda.
Well, anyway, okay, it could, but we were in
the... Linda.
Yes.
Did they put you in the paddy wagon with other people in there with your gun?
Yes. Now, nobody else...
Thank you for cooperating. What are you trying to do?
Okay.
Are you trying to make these guys look like they're powder puffs and didn't do anything?
Well, I knew the other person that was in the paddy wagon. And
that's the first place. That's against the law. It's against police procedures, and it could have got somebody killed.
That's true. And
you don't know who that guy in there was, except what he told you, right?
No.
Now, folks, the point I'm trying to make here is Linda is very naive about a lot of things, and she is very easily manipulated by these people because of it. She also tends to vindicate some of the things that they do when she should be condemning them. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This land is yours.
Folks, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in making available to you non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets. And I'll get too wrapped up in that because the government at any time can make anything illegal they want and tell you got to turn it in or confiscate it. But the fact is they've done that throughout history, and people who've been able to hide their gold and silver and other precious metals or commodities that have value have been the ones who survived while other people starved to death throughout the history of the world. Now, if you don't believe that, you go back through history and look at it. It's true. And we're going to go through something like this. I don't know how bad it's going to get, but I think it's going to get pretty bad, and it's not too far off in the future. All of us are going to need to be able to get to some means of exchanging some commodity for some of the necessities of life, including food, and maybe even to buy your life. Now, you may think I'm whacked out, but, you know, all the people in Germany sat around and said, this can't be happening. It won't happen to me. None of this stuff is going to take place. You know, they just got to do some things because there's a war on and there's an emergency, and they're going to move us over to another town and we'll be okay. Well, it wasn't, and they weren't. And even without that, in post-World War I Germany, inflation was so rampant and so quick, ladies and gentlemen, that by the time you got to the store, the price had doubled and you had to get back home to get more money. And by the time you came back, you didn't have enough again. Now, this may sound incredible, but ladies and gentlemen, it has to happen. Because in the New World Order, they can't have a middle class. Especially if socialism wins. They can't have a middle class. They must have a classless society, a redistribution of wealth, which means whatever you got is going to be shifted over to somebody else who ain't got. The people who don't pull their load are going to be force-fed if necessary, because in the New World Order, under socialism, no one is allowed to starve, even if you want to. So call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And if you don't believe socialism is coming, just listen to yourselves. Listen to your neighbors. Listen to how they ask for more from the government all the time. Take care of me. Find me a job. Pay me if I don't have a job. Feed me if I'm broke. And if I don't do anything, you've got to support me. You've got to give me shelter. You've got to give me money. You've got to give me food. You've got to give me this, that, and the other thing. Look at how many people are really living on what they saved and what they earned during their lifetime. Not me. Most of them are living on government subsidies. And since they knew those government subsidies would take care of them, they didn't save anything in their lifetime, and you're not saving anything either. Because you're just like all the rest. You're waiting until you get old enough where you don't have to work and the government's going to take care of you. I ain't lying, and you know it. So call 1-800-289-2646 and do it now. You'll be glad that you did. You will be real happy, folks, to get the burden off your mind, to be able to comfort your family and tell them that everything's all right, it's taken care of. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now.
Country road on the wind, it comes to call. And it sings in the farms and the factory towns, and where you think they've beaten no song at all. And the words are the words that our fathers said as they whistle down the years. And the name of the song is the name of the dream that is music to our ears. America, America.
And the dream goes on. The point I was trying to make there before we went in the break, folks, was that Linda Thompson has got an evil bone in her body. If you haven't figured that out by now, you should be able to figure it out just by listening to her talk. I know her well. Tried to help her many, many times. And she is the only woman in this country who has had the guts to oppose what's coming. And she is directly responsible for focusing the attention of the world on Waco, Texas, and on other issues when nobody else had the guts to do it. So in my estimation, anyone that condemns Linda Thompson, when they themselves have never done anything but sit on their couch, isn't even worth listening to. Are you there?
And I thought about it, but I hadn't, when we were on the break there, I hadn't thought about it, but, you know, putting somebody in a police, in the paddy wagon with their gun on, I was thinking about it from the standpoint of them making it look like an accident that I'd killed myself, but you're right, somebody else could have got the gun. Yep, and I didn't even think about that.
I know, you don't think about bad things usually. That's why people take advantage of you so easily, and, I can't. I'm going to make them stop it.
Well, I don't think you can. Some of these guys are so bad. But this deal with the guns, we had a rifle in the car. My husband had a rifle in the car. Mm-hmm. We always have a rifle in the car because we have been buzzed by the black helicopters. And I show it on our tape, America Under Siege, where we got buzzed in downtown D.C. And that wasn't even as low as they've done us here in town. We'll be in the car, and they literally just come right down the center of the road at the car.
You've also been threatened many times, haven't you?
Yes, and we've promised that the next time they do that to us with those helicopters, we're going to shoot them down, and that's why we have the rifle. And I mean it. And as soon as I started saying that, I said that if they buzzed my house again, I was going to shoot them down. And I called the local sheriff and told him, and we have help, okay? I mean, these guys, nobody is going to put up with it. And I went on the radio and I said, we're not taking this anymore. If you fly 75 feet or below 400 feet over our house and endanger my kids and my family and everything that we care about, again, we're shooting you down. Well, they quit doing that. And then they started buzzing the cars and they buzzed the office. And now they also buzz where my kids go to school and the whole school's seen it.
Now, some people would say you're nuts because you're going to shoot down the helicopter, but in fact, they're actually making an attack upon you. It is illegal to do what they do, and when they do that, it's to terrify people. It's an attempt at intimidation, which is a personal, physical attack upon your person.
Well, other people have had it done to them around the country, and it doesn't really register with you how terrorizing it is until you have it happen to you, because it shakes your whole house. You don't know what they're doing. And then if you look at America Under Siege, where Mike Benn, the house two doors down from him was attacked by helicopters with missiles, and it burned into the ground. All right, we already have more than one first strike by these guys around the country. And they've made their presence known to us time and time again on purpose. I mean, they're harassing us. So I don't see why I should have to take it. I mean, I live in America. These guys are terrorists. And they're endangering my family, my property, my life. I'm not going to take it. And I made that plain. Anyway, that's why we always have the rifle in the car. And the other reason is we've been followed by these government agents. We got that on tape, and we put it in America Under Siege because I don't like people calling me a kook. I mean, I may be a kook, but when I'm telling you things I've seen with my own eyes and have pictures of, I really think that you can't get much better than that. I mean, I don't know what else I could do besides take somebody physically along with me to see these things. But we're actually finding what I'm talking about.
Are you kidding? Most of these people that judge you have never done anything in their life and never will. They're useless couch potatoes, most of them, until they wake up and get active. They're just a burden on everybody. And not only that, Linda, not only that, but a lot of these people who got so angry because you called off the March on Washington that called me,
yeah,
and they castigated me and castigated you because you called off the March on Washington, where were they?
Well, they weren't planning to go, or they would have already joined up with a militia unit and known that he was gone.
Not only that, Linda, but why did they have to have you if they're so big and brave and mean and they want to go tackle the government? Why didn't they go without you? Truth is, they're a bunch of lily-livered, mouthy cowards, and that's the truth. Otherwise, they would have said, well, Linda's not going, let's get together and we'll go, but they didn't do that. What they were probably hoping on is that you'd go and get killed and they'd sit at home and laugh.
Well, I think that was exactly it with a lot of them, but we also had a lot of really fine militia people out there that knew better, knew what was going on, organized militias all over the country, and it was the most effective mobilizer in the history of this country since the revolution in getting people that were willing to do something to organize and do something. So when the John Birchers tell everybody to vote and write their congressman,
John Birchers have done nothing in their history but talk, and that's the truth.
Well, we've done more in 2 years than they've done in the entire time they've been around, and they can't stand it. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I don't care if they make fun of me.
No, that's not the problem, Linda. You don't understand. Robert Welch was a Freemason.
Oh, well, then they don't intend to do anything, do they?
They are a part of the Hegelian political conflict resolution scam. And every time somebody proposes that they do something, they knock that person down just like they knock you down in their article.
Well,
because they're not going to do anything. They're not going to let anybody do anything. And they're garnering the names and addresses of patriots across the country.
Well, they weren't planning on people that can write and talk and get around their nonsense, because it hasn't slowed us down any. I'll tell you, the thing that has killed us is finances. We don't have any money at all. Right now, I couldn't make payroll this week. And we can't get the tape, America Under Siege, out anywhere, because I can't get it on the radio. I can't get it on TV. I can't get it anywhere. Nobody can find out about it. And then we've got people like this so-called North American Freedom Movement and the Christian Underground Hotline bootlegging our stuff, effectively putting us out of business just better than the government could ever hope to do.
Yeah, folks, don't buy America Under Siege unless you buy it from Linda. Because if you're buying it from somebody else, they've stolen it from her. And they're taking your money, making you think that they have her permission to reproduce that tape and sell it to you, and they don't.
And something that I think is a good...
It's like the Liberty Lobby. They stole Waco the Big Lie. They sold at least 4,000 copies and never paid you a penny, did they?
Nope. And they know it. And see, this puts us, I mean...
And Tom Valentine knows it too, doesn't he?
Oh, they say we're patriots for pay. Well, who else is going to go out and do this?
Now, wait a minute. They accuse you of being patriots for pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they stole your film. sold a minimum of 4,000 copies that we know of and didn't pay you a penny. Now, who's the Patriots for Pay? Who's the scam artists?
Well, I know who they are.
Who are the scumbags? Who are the people who are doing nothing but criticizing everybody else who does something?
Well, I know that it costs money to do what we're doing, and I know we have literally risked our lives here. Every one of my staff has had stuff happen to them, had their brakes cut, they've been followed, they've been harassed on the phone, they've been harassed out in the parking lot. They've put up with a lot. They don't work for very much pay. We go week to week and don't get a dime out of here ourselves, and then we got people griping at us that we're doing this for the money. Trust me, people. When I was working as an attorney, you could take a federal drug case, like I told you, for $20,000 up front and not have to do a thing. Now, there are easier ways to steal money. This is not a scam.
And you gave up that law practice in order to help the people get ready for what's coming.
And it's so frustrating right now to be sitting here knowing we've got information, knowing we need to get it out to people, not being able to get it out, and being broke because of it. You know, it's just frustrating, very frustrating.
You know, thousands of people screamed and yelled and cried and hollered when you went off the air. And every time they called here, I'd ask them one question. You heard Linda say that she didn't have any money to pay for the airtime. Did you contribute anything to help pay for the airtime to keep her on the air?
Well, I could barely make ends meet, blah, blah, blah.
Linda was paying for that airtime herself, folks. And without the backing of Swiss America Trading, I wouldn't be on the air because I can't afford all this stuff. And Patriots, everywhere I go, the first thing they want to know is how can I preserve my assets instead of how can I preserve the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Patriots are the stickiest, stingiest, most miserly group of people I've ever met in my life. And the reason we're losing this battle is because the liberals put their money where their mouth is, and the Patriots are all sitting around figuring out how to get a nickel from their neighbors without spending a nickel of theirs.
Well, that's the thing that's frustrating, because you've got people on the one hand that want somebody to do something. They tell me what a great job I'm doing with the radio and with the newspaper and the things that we do. Great job, keep it up, we need you, blah, blah, blah. How am I supposed to keep that up? Are we not supposed to eat? Are my kids supposed to be running around with no clothes? Are the staff supposed to work here for free? Who's going to pay these phone bills just to make the phone calls to track down all these stupid rumors that people call me with? You know, did Bill Cooper get shot today? I don't know, but it's a $5 phone call to find out. You know, this kind of thing. They don't care, because if they cared, they'd pick up the phone and spend the $5 to find out. They don't do that. They call here.
That's another thing, too. Patriots don't do research. They don't check on anything. Most of them, that is. Not all, but most. They're the biggest group of rumor mongers I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, and just a call. I had somebody call the other day. Bill Clinton's been arrested. Well, with this president, anything possible. So I had to call, and I spent 5 or 6 phone calls calling D.C. to find out about it. Well, that's $10-$15 right there, boom.
Mm-hmm.
To get this information is not cheap. And then when we go to make a tape, it costs $60,000 to $100,000 to make one of these tapes.
I can do one database search by computer. One national database search, and it might cost me $500 and only take 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. You can do one that's a one-minute search and be spending $50. Because I've done it. Get on there and just look for one name. Bam, $50, and you're...
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And this stuff does not come free.
No. And people think that we just magically know this stuff. They don't know that we spend hours and hours of work and hours on the computer searching databases and tons of money out of our own pockets.
So the guys that are out there putting out the disinformation that live out of a trailer and wander around the country for the government...
And
have any expense because they make their stuff up or they steal it from somebody else. That is how they get their credibility. They steal something somebody else wrote.
Well, I haven't seen any of them with any credibility yet. They were the biggest.
So why do people even listen to them?
I don't know.
When you can ask them, what have you ever actually done?
It's the sheeple
factor. Have not done anything.
the Blue Press. The Blue Press in here says that you ran for governor in the state of Illinois on the Socialist Workers Party ticket. Is that true?
socialist. I've never run for governor anywhere. And in Indianapolis alone, there are 6 Linda Thompsons. There are 2 Linda Thompsons that are attorneys. And I did a search just for fun the other day on CompuServe in the phone database across America to see how many Linda Thompsons there were. And I came up with 87 pages of Linda Thompsons.
Yeah, but all these people believed it. All those sheep out there believed that you ran for governor in Illinois on the Socialist Workers Party.
My name wasn't even Thompson in 76.
Now, anybody who did run for governor in the state of Illinois on the Socialist Workers Party ticket, it would be a matter of public record, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But none of them bothered to check, did they?
No. There was apparently a Linda Thompson, but it wasn't me.
Yeah.
She's 11 years older than I am. I've never lived in Illinois. That should be a start. I mean, anybody that's checking my background, where I've lived is a matter of public record practically back to when I was born. And, you know, they were able to get my military records. These guys that came up with this story had my military records, and that military record shows in 1976 I was in Europe with the U.S. Army. Now, this Henry Kitchen is who started that story about the running for governor business.
I smell the ADL again.
Exactly. He's the guy that got my military records.
Uh-huh.
So they knew it was a lie when they put it out. This wasn't just a simple mistake. This was an outright lie put out on purpose.
But the sheeple believed it. And they condemned you. And I've seen all kinds of lies floating around all over the place. And every one of them...
I'm an agent provocateur, too.
Every one of them contained this allegation that you are running for governor in Illinois on the Socialist Workers Party ticket.
And that I'm an agent provocateur. Well, I tell you who the agent provocateurs are. They're the ADL claiming that everything is a race battle, that we've got to fight each other over race, or that somebody is a racist so that people will hate them, or that somebody is anti-Semitic so that people will hate them. The ADL is who labeled David Koresh a crazed cult leader, the evil crazed cult leader, and was behind all of the propaganda we heard about Waco to demonize those people. Now, that's hate mongering. That is exactly what they do. They manufacture targets of hate.
Well, they have to, you see. They get us to fighting between each other, and then they can run around and put the chains on our ankles very easily, and we don't even know what's happening because we're so stupid and fall for this stuff.
Well, I found out from several reporters that this Henry Kitchen had provided his information to several different places, and all of those places are the ones that have come out with these stories claiming that I'm an agent provocateur. I don't work for the government. I have worked for the government because I was in the Army and I worked for the post office. But I have never worked for any law enforcement agency ever. And don't now. And I don't work for Department of Justice. I don't work for CIA or FBI or any of the government agencies or the UN.
You know, Dylan says that you were discredited by video analysis done by Soldier of Fortune. That's a lie also, isn't it?
Oh, that's a hoot.
Well, first place, Soldier of Fortune never did a video analysis. They published a story written by somebody else. Who was that?
And the guy, McNulty, the guy that made the bogus tape.
Yeah, and we did analyze his tape and found out that it was a complete digitized fiction.
So they had to come up with another one, which is why they came out with that Day 51 tape that showcases 4 known government operatives and calls them reporters. Now, if you watch that tape, there's not one bit of new information in it. And everybody says, oh, no, yes, there is. It shows how the Branch Davidians were running guns. No, it doesn't.
And they weren't running guns.
And it says maybe they were and provides speculation. But the rest of the tape is all stuff that's already been exposed. The whole purpose of that tape was to showcase their discredited agents and make them look credible. That's all it was for. And here we have the same thing. See, we expose them, and every time we expose them, they have to drop back 2 points and come up with something else.
And the sheeple are so easily manipulated. It's unbelievable.
So we exposed that whole thing as a fraud. I laid that out in Waco, too, that Soldier of Fortune endorsed this bogus tape without ever analyzing our tape. And then Mike Dillon just repeats it as if it's true. when he knew it was not. So where does this guy come from? Why am I the only time on the cover of Dylan Press that they've ever had anything besides their products? My name...
Yeah, and it's real funny, too, because they got you portrayed as Svetlana Gorbachev here with a dagger in your hand and the femme fatale.
Well, my name is on the cover of their magazine.
Actually, folks, she's much better looking than this.
I wish. But I don't walk around with daggers. If anything, I have an M16. But this kind of thing has been organized. It's an organized propaganda campaign. I got a letter today from a militia up in Washington.
Guess what? We're out of time.
Oh, poop. Well, KVI in Washington spread the ADL stuff, and they've been bad-mouthing me for months. So KVI is the Washington State ADL outlet, folks. Be forewarned. Can I give out the number for my tape?
Yes, please.
1-800-749-9939. 1-800-749-9939. And American Justice is listed with 800 information and regular information in Indianapolis, Indiana. You can call us anytime.
Thank you very much, Linda.
Thank you, Bill, for having me on your show.
Good night, and keep fighting. I wish there were more women in this country like Linda Thompson. To tell you the truth, most of you men out there look like little wimps compared to her. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
Thank you.